bad weather in Denver. There was actually a hailstorm, and the hail was about the size of golf balls, and for some reason, they didn't want to land a plane in that. And so we were circling for about an hour waiting for the weather to lift so we could land. And after about an hour, the pilot got on and said, folks, the weather's still bad here, and we're about to run out of fuel. And I thought, well, this is a great way to spend my Saturday. And we went to Wichita, Kansas, which I had been in one time before, but I didn't like. But we were supposed to get fuel in Wichita, Kansas. Well, when we landed, several people decided they wanted to get off the plane. They didn't want to go back to Denver. They were closer to Memphis if they got off the plane there, and there was a big argument about getting on the plane and off the plane and what was going on with that, and I happened to be having front row seats to it. And then we were told there was nobody in Wichita available to fill up our plane, and so we sat there. And we got somebody eventually to fill up the plane with some fuel, and we made it to Denver. And I got off the plane to find out that my plane back to Tampa left 15 minutes ago. And I was going to be stuck in Denver until the next morning at 5:30 when the next flight out was. And so I called my buddy Austin and said, Austin, you're up. Called Shaq that Austin's ready to preach, that I was stuck in Denver, and he had the audacity to say to me, enjoy your ski trip. It's not even snowing over there right now. But anyway, so I thought to myself, let's look and see if we can figure something out. And I went to the gate, and the gate guy was there, and there was a long line, and I was being patient because that morning before I left, I looked over my notes and was trying to think about what I was going to say that next morning. And as I'm looking over the notes and thinking about things, I'm like, okay, this is a good lesson. It's pretty basic. We're going to teach it, but I really wish there was some way we could show people how to practice it. And God let me know how to practice my patience. So I went to the gate counter's long line. Things are not moving fast, and somebody jumps up and says, hey, you know, any southwest gate counter will do. And so I went running to one that did not have a line. And I found one, and I said, is there any way you can get me to Orlando? Because I figured if they could get me to Orlando, I could drive over. I said, how about St. Pete? And everything was no, no, no. And I said, is there a hotel nearby? And the guy said, well, we're not paying for it. And I thought, that's not what I asked, and I don't like your attitude, but thank you anyway. And the whole time in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about this lesson on patience and how God is using my circumstance to teach me patience. You ever thought about that? God uses your circumstances to teach you patience. He really does. And I've heard often, do not pray for patience because God will give you opportunities to practice that patience. Amen. But I will tell you this. As impatient as the person I am, and as much as I struggled with everything that was going on, there was a peace about me that only God could give. Because I knew that God was in control and God was going to take care of everything. I listened to Austin's sermon, and I think it was probably one of his best ones ever. Amen? And everything went on without me, and I got to do today's lesson today. And I love what Luke said to me on the way up. Crossing in front of me, Luke said to me, we've been patiently waiting on this lesson on patience. So here we go. Look at your sermon notes, if you will. I want you to understand the word patience in the Greek comes from thumos, macro meaning long, and thumos meaning like thermometer, meaning heat. So you need to be long before you get heated up. And One of the things that happened to me when I was there is I was trying to remain peaceful. I was trying to remain calm. I did not go get a hotel because I figured it was 10 o'clock at night. By the time I found an Uber, got to a hotel, it would be midnight. Well, I would have to be up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and make a 5:30 flight, and I probably wouldn't sleep that well anyway, and it wasn't worth the money. So I decided to stay in the airport. And I don't know if you've ever done that before, but it is not fun. And I tried to get comfortable, and no matter how I slept or how I laid, it was uncomfortable. I tried sleeping in a chair, and chairs are not comfortable to sleep in. Your neck starts going around. You have all kinds of things happening to you. You just can't get comfortable. So I laid down in the floor, and I thought, well, maybe I can sleep in the floor. Everybody else seems to be doing it, and every 30 minutes I heard this announcement. Please keep all personal items beside you at all times. If you walk away from your personal items, they will be confiscated and possibly destroyed. And every 30 minutes, I heard that. And I was getting so tired about 4:30 in the morning. And that's when the cleaning crew shows up. And they decide that it is a good idea for them to have a conversation, one of them on one side of the airport and one of them on the other side of the airport. And they talk to each other loudly right above my head. And I started thinking about this patience and a long time before we get heated. And I thought to myself, God is in this. And the next time you're driving down the road and somebody's doing 35 in a 55, remind yourself that God is in this. He's trying to teach you to be long before you become overheated. So when do we need to be patient? This was my sermon lesson from last week, long before I had my airport experience. When are we going to be patient? When circumstances are out of control. When circumstances are out of control. And I don't know about you, but I like being in control. I like knowing what's going on. I am one of those people that I would rather drive tired than let somebody else drive, because I like being in control. And it doesn't matter who is driving, I still like being in control. It says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting. The second time we need to be patient is when people are unchangeable. Is when people are unchangeable. And I was thinking about this lesson when I was at the airport and the guy at the Southwest counter was being so snotty to me. And he's not changeable. There's nothing I could have said to him to make him change. There's nothing I could have done. But I was patient and I was kind. And I rejoiced over the fact that I didn't hit him. Brothers and sisters, an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And the third time we need to be patient is when problems are unexplainable. Have you ever thought how in the world certain things happen? I often think, how did we get to where we are in this country? How did we get to where we are in this life sometimes? And sometimes things just happen for no reason whatsoever. They're unexplainable. It didn't make any sense to me that I would be on a plane that didn't have a full tank. That didn't make any sense to me. It didn't make any sense to me that I could be on a plane and needing gas, and there was nobody to fill her up, if you say. And the whole thing of it is, he says here, have you heard of Job's perseverance and talk about how all the bad things that happened to Job. And we had a great class here in the auditorium on Job, where Matt did a fabulous job talking about all the things that happened to Job. And his problems were certainly unexplainable. Well, why should I be patient in the middle of my trials? James tells us, it says, because God is in control. Because God is in control. I was listening to Mike Stapleton's class today, and he's talking about how God is ruler and reigner over all of the earth and everything that's going on, and I couldn't agree with him more. Sometimes we wonder how we're going to get out of the mess we're in or how things are going to work out. But I want to tell you that no matter what is going on in your life or what's going on in the world, God is still in control. I think there's some people out there that think God just put this mess out here and just let everything happen the way He wants it to happen and just kind of threw it out there and then let us do what we want with it. And we're out of control. But no, let me tell you this, most certainly, God is in control no matter what's going on in life. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. And I love the Phillips translation here of that same verse. So must you be patient, resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty. Underline those words. The ultimate certainty, the Lord's coming is very near. Second reason why we need to be patient is because God rewards patience. He says, as you know, we count blessed those who have persevered. We know that God will reward our patience, and we just need to be patient. In Matthew chapter 5, 11 through 12, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And the third thing that I want you to know is because God is working things out. God is working things out. That was the biggest thing that I kept falling back to when I was starting to get frustrated, when I was starting to feel like things were out of control, out of my control. I was thinking to myself, God is working things out. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And I love the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12, 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. God is at work in you in order to fulfill His purpose in your life. Well, here's the big question. How in the world do I learn to be patient? The very first thing is you need to learn to wait expectantly. You need to learn to wait expectantly. And that's what I was doing in the airport. I was just like, okay, well, whatever it is, it's going to be fine. I cannot do anything about it, but I am going to wait expectantly for what happens next. Psalms 130 and verse 5, that is why I wait expectantly, trusting God to help, for He has promised. And then Isaiah 49 verse 23, the last part of the verse says, Then you shall know that I am the Lord, and those who hope in me shall never be disappointed. I don't know what you're going through right now. I've talked to some of you, and I know a little bit about what some people are going through, but I want to say this to you. If you're in a bad place, wait expectantly. And I want to say this to everybody in the audience. This is some of the best advice that I have given my kids over the years, and it works so well for me. When things are going really, really bad, And it doesn't seem like they can get much worse. Hang on, because things will get better. But to the rest of you, if things are going really, really good right now, hang on, because things are going to get bad. That is the way life works. I wish it was like everything's good all the time, there's no problems, and that only works on Facebook. I love the Facebook, the posts that people make, and same thing as Snapchat and other things, where they Snapchat their life and everything's wonderful. Look at me, my loving son and I are going to soccer practice and he is doing his best, and they don't show the 20 minutes it took to get him ready to go to soccer practice because his shoe fell off and he couldn't find it, and his socks were dirty and his uniform was the wrong uniform and all the other things that went on, and the screaming and things that went on there. But here's the thing. You need to wait expectantly if you are in a bad situation. And here's the one that's going to be really hard for us, because this is what we do to ourselves. When things go bad, we want to tell other people about it, right? When somebody's driving poorly in front of us, even if there's nobody in the car with us, we want to talk about it out loud, don't we? Because we can't do the second thing, and that is to wait quietly. We can't do that, can we? Anybody else in here have a hard time waiting quietly besides me? Okay. The rest of you are liars or you're not listening. It says, do not swear. And I can tell you there's times when things have happened and I wanted to swear. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait quietly. Habakkuk 2:3 from the Living Bible. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the visions will be fulfilled. It will seem slow. Do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. And the third thing that we've got to do here is we've got to wait confidently. We have to wait confidently. And there's a confidence that comes from being through experience. Amen? I'm trying to coach my sons about life. I've been a part of their life since they were little boys, and I wish I knew back then what I know now, but a lot of what I know now comes through experience. Amen? And a lot of things that we have seen in our lifetime, especially when it comes to our faith, is not something that we learn from a textbook. It's something that we learn from experience. And that confidence that I have in God now comes a lot from my experience in this life. And I wasn't sure we'd have enough time, so I went ahead and filled in your blanks for you. But I want you to see the word hope there. It's holding on, praying expectantly. Micah 7, verse 7, the first part of the verse. As for me, I look to the Lord for help, and I wait confidently for God. Psalms 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I don't know where you are spiritually today. I wish I did. I wish I knew how to preach to each one of you individually. But one of the things I do know is that everybody in this room is going through something right now. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't go through something from time to time. Maybe that things are pretty good for you right now. Maybe that things are really bad for you right now. Wherever you are in that, God is seeking to give you a message today. One of the things He says is, wait on me, be patient, for I am in control, and I am with you, and I will reward you. I am so so very grateful that when I was stuck in the airport in Denver overnight, that I had God's Word with me. It wasn't that I had it on my phone. It wasn't that I had it to look down at some notes. It was that I had it in my heart. And when it comes to having patience, I'm going to tell you, having God's Word in your heart will give you patience when you cannot believe you've got patience. I wanted to tell the guy at the Southwest counter, "Don't you know who I am? I got people. They're waiting on me. You know how mad they're going to be?" Well, some of you will be kind of happy, but others won't. But my point being is this. I had God's Word in me. And I knew that God was at work. And then I knew that if God wanted me to be here last Sunday, I'd have been here. But I realized, after watching my brother Austin preach, Austin needed that. And he needed that in a lot of different ways. But what he had to say, I knew that somebody needed that Sunday. And every Sunday, whether I'm preaching or whether somebody else is preaching, God is in control. And God will give you what you need. The question is whether or not you're ready to receive it. That's the biggest problem we have with God and His Word and what we're supposed to do. Is we have this thing in our minds that makes us think that we are in control, that we need to be in control and we need to be over things and we need to make sure that things go our way. But the reality of it is God is in control and we need to make sure things go God's way. And I don't know where you are spiritually. You may be struggling right now because of sin in your life. You may be struggling because of relationships are going south. You may be struggling because of finances. I don't know where you are. But in all of that, you need to turn to God. I love the fact that Michael and his class today was talking about the purpose of the church is to glorify God, and we glorify God by the way we live. And I love that because that is so true. We need to glorify God by the way we live. But when we glorify God by the way we live, we have a hope that God is always with us, no matter what. And no matter what you go through on this earth, no matter how good or how bad your life is, God is with you. But the real key to it is God has a home prepared that's not here. And I keep wondering what heaven's going to be like because the relationships that I have here on this earth are so phenomenal. I got a call last night from a young man that's at the Citadel that I've known since he was a little kid, and we talked for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. It's his first year at the Citadel, and he's telling me everything that's going on, and I'm thinking to myself, this is not my son, but he is my son because he is taking time to share with me his life. And I thought about the fact that this morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach to people I love and get to see them and shake hands and hug people. And the kids, oh my goodness, the kids here are so wonderful, aren't they? And some of you adults aren't so bad either. But I think about how wonderful God has made this earth. And I was in the mountains hiking while I was in Idaho, and I was walking by waterfalls and streams, and I just hiked up for about 3.5 miles up this mountain, following this stream up, bushwhacking through it. My daughter-in-law and son went the correct way and didn't get lost. But I went up 3.5 miles up this mountain and just saw beautiful things. But all the things that I enjoy on this earth and all the beauty that has surrounded me is nothing compared to what we're going to have in heaven one day. And so I'm going to leave you with a scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 11. And then this is going to be our invitation, and we'll sing our invitation song. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.